The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. This is the most well-known of the chapters, especially in Hebrews. Some call it God's Hall of Fame. Some call it Faith's Hall of Fame. But when you read through the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, you very quickly see that there's a group of ordinary people who become notable, ordinary people who God uses. Do you know that God uses ordinary people like you and me? He chooses to work through our lives, just the common, but somehow it's through the act of faith. When you put your confidence in God and He empowers you, then the ordinary can do the extraordinary. Praise God. And that's what Hebrews 11 is all about, really just the common person who extends a hand of faith toward God, and that God works in their life to accomplish some wonderful, wonderful things. And so if your children or young people are looking for heroes, and oftentimes youth do that, they look up to someone as notable, someone that they want to pattern their life after, Hebrews 11 would be a good place to point them to. I would suggest that you not point them to the sports world. Did you know that there have been 40 National Football League players since January 1 this year? There have been 40 that have been arrested. And it's not just little small charges. They've been arrested for things like assault and rape and murder and drug charges. I know that there are some in the sports world, very small little percentage. There are a few that have some spiritual life and are believers, and I thank God for those. But you won't find very many heroes out there. If you look at the popular music world, forget it. Popular music world, they've gone crazy. And they're living such debased, immoral lives that if your children have the posters of any of these kind of people up on their wall, I just go in there and just kind of get rid of it. And put something up in their room that's going to promote a real hero, a man of God, or someone who has some character about them that you would want them to follow in their steps. So there are not very many heroes. Most of what's going on in the hero worship world of our country today is pretty disgusting and embarrassing, really. And so what we need is some people that we can look to, and Hebrews 11 is a good place to look for people that we could follow in their steps. We can understand what it is to live a life of faith. But we're going to read verse 5 and 6 of chapter 11, then we're going to look back in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 5. We're talking about Enoch today. Enoch walked with God. Hebrews 11 and verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, the book of Hebrews was written to help the Jews to understand that the only way to come to God is through faith in Jesus Christ. And you think that that's hard for a secular person to believe. A Jewish religious person is really going to have a tough time with this, because there have been centuries of ritual and ceremony that's been ingrained into them, that for you to tell them, like the writer here in Hebrews, who we're not sure who the writer is, it's probably the Apostle Paul, but the writer here is describing the fact, and when you read through the book of Hebrews, you see this repeated over and over again, that the faith and the object of our faith is Jesus Christ, and none of our works and none of our efforts of our own self. You can't live good enough. You can't be moral enough. If you're going to be saved, you have to come by faith to Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the only way that you can be saved. And it's the only, not only, we see the example in the first hero listed here, and it's Abel. Abel came and he brought the more excellent sacrifice. And so Abel is a, it depicts for us how to come to God. That you, it's only through the shedding of blood. And of course that animal that was shed was looking to the day when Jesus was going to come and be the better sacrifice, who was going to shed his blood. And now we know that it's without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so Abel is this Bible example for us of how to come to God, only through the right kind of a sacrifice, and that's Jesus Christ. But then the second hero is the one we're talking about today. And this man's, his name is Enoch. And this man, he helps us to see how that we are to be able to live our lives and how we are to walk with God. It's one thing to come to the Lord and to get saved. It's all together another thing to develop a walk with God, a relationship with God, where every day of your life is a life that's centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people have, you know, a religious connection. They have a connection with church. They may be there at church pretty often, but sad to say, it's possible to have a connection with spiritual things and even with the church, but not walk with God. It's quite possible. It happens all the time. And to take it even a step further, do you know that it's possible to be in church several times a week? It's possible to go through a lot of religious ritual and, you know, I read my Bible and I pray and I do. It's possible to even have a lot of religious activity that we are involved in our life, but still not have a walk with the Lord. But Abel taught us how to come to God. Enoch teaches us how to walk with God. We need this lesson today. We need to know this example in the Scripture of what it means to walk with the Lord. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. When you look in Genesis chapter 5, and if you want to turn over there with me, Genesis chapter 5 is really kind of a chapter. When you look at this chapter and start reading through it, it almost is a little bit morbid, because it starts going through the different, you know, this one was born and then they died, and then this one was born and then they died. And when you start reading through all the examples of this, it just seems like that all they're describing is the fact that someone was born and they died. And do you know that for most people in our world today, that's pretty much all you can say about their life, is that they were born and that they die, or that they're going to die. And some of you probably have heard the song or even the poem that was written about the dash between the dates. When you go out to the cemetery and you see the date of that person when they were born and the date that they died, and then there's just a little dash in between the two. And that's really the most important thing. What went on in your life? How did you live your life? Did you walk with the Lord? Genesis chapter 5 is morbid, except for the fact that you get down a few verses here and you get to the part about Enoch. And when you get to the part about Enoch, everything is different, because it says that Enoch lived 65 years and beget Methuselah. Verses 21. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Thank God for Enoch, that he broke up that chapter of all these who were born and they died, and they were born and then they died, and they were born and then they died. And suddenly we get to Enoch. And we've got a few verses. Actually, there's only about 8 verses in the entire Bible that talk much at all about the life of Enoch. And these verses here in Genesis chapter 5 tell us a few things about him. And actually, he's the first person in the Scripture who's mentioned that he walked with God. And we know that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. And that described the fact that that Adam and Eve had this wonderful companionship with God. But it was lost in the fall. And but somehow Enoch had enough faith. The scripture says that by faith Enoch walked with God. By faith Enoch was translated. By faith Enoch lived a different kind of a life. You see, the most important thing for you or for me, if you want your life to make a difference, if you want your life to matter at all, if you want your life to be more than just when you were born and the day you die, if you want to fill up the in-between with something that's going to matter for time and eternity, you're going to have to develop a walk with God. Develop a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in so doing, then you understand we don't have any control over the day we were born or over the day that we die. We don't control those events, but the date, the times in between, the life we live, the way we walk, what we fill up our time doing, those are choices that we make, decisions that we make, and you can choose to serve God, and you can choose to walk with God. Amen. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we have the privilege to be able to do that, to walk with the Lord. Another song, I think it's Stephen Curtis Chapman, and wrote this song a lot of years ago. He talks about the fact, he says, there's more to this life than just living and dying. There's got to be more to this life than just the beginning and the end. And there is only if you learn to walk with God. That makes all the difference. When you come to Jesus Christ, you see, your second birth is really the most important thing that needs to take place. If you're not a Christian, then you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. You need to be changed by the power of God. And then your life, you'll begin to walk with God. And every day of your life can be fellowship and communion with the Lord. That was the experience that Enoch had. Amen. He walked with God. Amen. Now, you know, again, you have to look at these few verses because we only have a few verses about Enoch, but you have to look at these verses to kind of get an insight into what's going on there. The Bible says that he lived 365 years. That sounds like a long time, but his son Methuselah lived 969 years. Wow. All these pre-flood generations, their lives seemed to be extended longer and longer and longer. But actually, it says that his walk with God didn't start until he was 65 years old. It says that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah, 300 years. And so from that point on, there were 300 years there, if you can imagine that, 3 centuries that he walked with God. But the 65 years leading up to that time, he didn't walk with the Lord. I think we all have seen this happen. And even recently with Daniel Zocco, a little bit, he began to see in his own life. He looked at his 2 little children. He saw the life that he was leading. And he said, I don't want my little kids to see me, you know, using bad language. I don't want them to see me involved in things that I shouldn't be. I don't want them to grow up seeing their dad smoking and doing all these things. I want them to grow up. And so something about children and family, sometimes marriage, causes people to start thinking a little more seriously about their life. And for good reason. Good reason. And we can only assume, I can't say for sure, but when you read it the way I just read it to you, it sounds like that Methuselah lived like everybody else lived until he was 65 years old. He's a parent for the first time at 65, Brother Charlie. You were talking about Abraham this morning. 65 years old and he's a parent. And suddenly Methuselah is born and he's changed. From that point on, he walks with God for the next 300 years. I think that there are times in our life, I guess we could say they're crisis times. There are times when we have an awakening, when we recognize this is important. This is important. There's nothing more important than serving God. There's nothing more important than being an example of righteousness and godliness. Never do I hold a little baby in a baby dedication and offer prayer for that little baby that I'm not thinking, this little baby is going to live and die and is going to go to either heaven or hell. Wow, it's an awesome thing. It's a It's a sobering thing. And I think that moms and dads, when you have little children, that needs to be something that you consider. A lot of times we're worried about, you know, do they have designer tennis shoes, or do they have the nicest clothes, or are they popular in school? But the real issue that you ought to be concerned about is, are they going to live for God? And am I going to be an example as a father or a mother to help them to see that they need Jesus Christ? Are they going to follow in my steps? Apparently Methuselah followed in the steps of his father. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God until he was next 300 years. All of those years. What was the significance? You know, now it's kind of interesting. Methuselah it's kind of become kind of a cliche, a byword for people who say that they're old. They're as old as Methuselah. Nobody is that old. But sometimes we feel like that we're that old. But his name means, when he is dead, it shall be sent. That's Methuselah's name. When he is dead, it shall be sent. And the prophecy of Enoch from Jude, another place in the scripture where Enoch is mentioned, Jude chapter 1, because it's only one chapter in Jude, verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly. You'll notice in verse 15 of Jude, four times in that one verse, that Enoch prophesied and referred to that generation as an ungodly generation. To execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them, all of them, of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches with ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Don't you think that he got the message across? If there was anything about his generation, was they were ungodly, far from God. But for 300 years he walked with God. 300 years. A lot of times people say, I can't really walk with God. I can't live a holy life. I can't live a life above sin in the world. This world is so corrupt, and the culture has moved so far away from God. I don't know that they were any worse than the generation that Enoch prophesied about. That ungodly generation that he was walking in, but yet he walked faithfully. He stayed faithful to the Lord. As I said, Methuselah's name meant, when he is dead, it shall be sin. And it's interesting that he is the oldest man that lived. His life was stretched out 969 years. And then the flood came. Then the flood came. And it was like God was saying that through the lineage of Enoch and Methuselah, that God was showing grace and mercy, and that he was extending opportunity for that generation to repent of their sins. But yet they didn't. When he died, just like when the church is taken out of here in rapture, when this rapture generation is gone, then judgment will come upon the earth. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Praise God. He walked with the Lord, a wonderful type of the church, of Christians, believers, that we are to be living in such a way that we walk with God. Do you know that there are people alive right now that very well may not go by way of the grave? Amen. I know we've heard this. I've heard it all of my life, but I still believe with all of my heart that we're moving closer and closer and closer to the end of this age, and God is still extending himself in mercy and love to this generation. But we also know that there's going to come a time when the church is going to exit and is going to be raptured from this world. And when that happens, then calamity, then judgment is going to fall, and all the things that are going to take place after the rapture of the church. Amen. When he is gone, judgment will come. Well, Enoch walked with God, and I tell you that I really believe that Enoch had to make some choices, just like we all do. As I said, maybe it was the fact that he became a father, and then he began to see his sons and his daughters growing up, and he said, I need to serve God. I need to walk with God. And there was that that element of seriousness that got a hold of his heart about his family and about his influence. The scripture says that he had this testimony that he pleased God. We all have a testimony, whether it's verbal or not, whether we say words or not. We all have a testimony in the world today. What are they going to say about you? What are the words that are going to be spoken about you? What kind of a person are you? I can't think of anything more wonderful than for someone to say, he lived, he walked with God, and he pleased God. What a wonderful testimony that he had. But he had to make some choices, and we all have to make choices. We live in a world where there's so many possible ways that you can live. You can live to your flesh. You can live to your own desires. You can make choices to follow your own way and to live your life to your own satisfaction. But if you're going to please God, you're not going to be able to make those choices that are going to cater to the flesh. If you're going to please God, you're going to have to live by faith, and you're going to have to begin to walk your life on a daily basis in fellowship with the Lord. Amen. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. That doesn't mean that you're going to be able to convince God that you're okay by the way you're living. It means that you need to align your life to the will of God, to the Word of God. Be a student of the Bible. Read the Bible and live according to God's Word. And you're not going to be able to walk with the Lord unless you are willing to live in harmony with the Word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. If it's in the book, thus saith the Lord, then you need to align your life to that. Every bit of it. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, you need to read and study the Word of God. You need to take every opportunity to hear the Word of God taught and preached and be ministered to through the power of the Word of God, because one of these days you're going to stand before God and you're going to be judged on the basis of truth. God's Word. Not opinion, not what anybody else thinks, not what others in the culture are doing, or even other people in churches are doing. You're just going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to be judged on the basis of God's revelation, His Word. Amen. The only way you can walk with God is be in agreement with God, be in fellowship with God, in communion with the Lord. You know, Enoch prophesied of things that were going to take place. Judgment that was going to come, and even depicting things that were going to come upon this earth at the end of the age. He prophesied there in the book of Jude about those things. And the reason he was able to do that was because of his walk with God. When you walk with the Lord, then you hear from God. You hear his voice. When you're in step with the Lord, then you're going to be in tune to his voice. Amen. Psalm 25 and verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. The secret of the Lord. People who have understanding of the times, people that have understanding of the truths of God's Word and know how that we need to live and know how to walk with the Lord. That's the people who are walking with the Lord and they fear the Lord. As they walk with God, then God communicates with them and shares His truth and His secrets with them. Amen. Praise God. When a perfect person is able to speak prophetically of events, both present and future, you put your confidence in them because you see in them a walk with the Lord. I often will watch messages of David Wilkerson's, and whenever I do, and I could just sense, you know, this man has been with the Lord. He's been in a closet somewhere of prayer. As he speaks, I think we need to pay attention to people of God, men of God who spend time with the Lord and in the presence of God. Then we're able to hear from the Lord and learn what it means to walk with God. Amen. Enoch walked with God. In Hebrews it says he was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. What happened? Well, you know, we can only imagine what happened. But just to put it as simple as it probably was, that every day he was just walking with God here in this world. And one day he took a step And that next step was in the presence of God. Whoa. Whoa. Amen. He was translated. It was amazing that suddenly, it was like Philip there in the book of Acts, whenever he was suddenly gone from that Ethiopian eunuch and was found somewhere else preaching the gospel. That's exactly what happened to Enoch. He was walking with God, walking with God, walking with God, and suddenly the next step, he's in the presence of God. Amen. Glory to God. And so I can't imagine a person who's living out the days of their life filled with, you know, carnal pleasures and living after their own desires and filling your life up with the things of this world. It's hard to imagine that you're going to step out of certain types of scenarios and step into the presence of God. Isn't it? But it's not hard at all to understand someone who walks with God and is in fellowship with the Lord, that they could suddenly move from this world into another world in the presence of the Lord. God translated him. For because his translation he had, or before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. Glory to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's the next verse, verse 6. Without faith, you can't please God. You must believe that he is, and you must believe that he's a rewarder. Apparently, not only did he walk with God and fellowship with God, spend time in the presence of the Lord, his walk was in agreement with the word of God, but Enoch as well was seeking after God. He was seeking after the Lord. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. You can be in fellowship with God and you can walk with God if you are seeking after the Lord. Amen. God rewards those that seek after him. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 8. So then they that are of the flesh cannot please God. You can't live after self-interest and your own desires and please the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. You can't put yourself before God. Your decisions can't be based upon your own interest and your own desires. I believe that Enoch measured all that he did in every day of his life. He measured it by the yardstick. How will this please the Lord? Will this please God? Not a bad way to measure the decisions of your life. Amen. If I do this, will I please God? If I go there, will that please God? Will I have this companionship or this association? Will it please God? Measure all that you're doing by. Is this something that's pleasing to the Lord? He had the testimony, or it was known of him. His reputation was that he walked on a daily basis with God, in fellowship with God. He cried out to God. He prayed. He diligently sought the Lord. And he measured his life by the things that were pleasing to God. Amen. Amen. What a life to live. Amen. So the reason why that suddenly in Genesis chapter 5, the chapter that's just going right from one person to the next saying they were born and then they died and they were born and then they died and they were born and then they died, and suddenly in 21, verse 21, it says Enoch was different. Enoch was different. Out of the midst of all of that corruption, out of the midst of that ungodly generation, how bad were they? They were so bad that God wanted to drown them all in a flood, and he did. That's how evil. And he even repented that he had made man. That's how ungodly that generation was. But Enoch, in the middle of all of that evil and that wickedness and all that was going on in that world, praise God, he walked with the Lord. He had a testimony that he pleased God. He diligently sought God. The Lord, he lived his life as an example with a testimony that he was pleasing the Lord. What does the world know about you? What do they know about your life and your example? Do they know that you're walking with God? Do they know that you're serving God? Do they know that your life is being lived out to please the Lord? That's the kind of testimony we need to have. Amen. Amen. If there's anything that's done disservice to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's Christians who are half-hearted. Christians that are, you know, half in, half out. Barely, they want, you know, their connection with the church, but they love the world. They want to be involved in everything the world has to offer. And they're all wrapped up in the world, but they still want their religious connection. You talk about a confusing message to a generation, especially a generation of young people who are making decisions about their life and their future and what their priorities ought to be. It's a confusing time if you have a church that's haphazard and carnal in many of their decisions that they're making. Amen. What this generation that's growing up needs is they need to be able to see moms and dads who have sold out to God. They need to see parents with that kind of a godly example, that they're striving to please the Lord. They're striving to seek the Lord. They're striving to fellowship and to walk with the Lord every day of their life. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. You got to believe that God exists. And you got to believe that God will reward you if you'll call upon His name. Hallelujah. Amen. I think you can have a walk with God. I really do. I believe that if you want to have a walk with the Lord, you can. Amen. Sometimes we think it's only those few special people who just seem to have a real spiritual aptitude. You're really hungry for God. But really, it's just all about choices that we make. Most of us have been around here for any length of time. Remember Sister Saylor, whenever she would stand up to give a testimony, it would almost always be like a word from the Lord in the service. Whenever she stood up, everybody really paid attention because you knew this wasn't just an old lady talking. This is an old lady that had been spending the entire week in the Word of God. She's been, you know, rocking in that chair and meditating on the truths of God's Word. And when she would stand, her life was a pouring out of an experience that she had with God, a fellowship and a walk that she had with the Lord. Amen. The reason why a man like Brother Messer had the impact that he did around here during revival was because you could tell by your conversation with him, he didn't divide his life. If you started talking to him any length of time at all, it would get back to another study in the Word of God, or getting to what about this section of Scripture, or I've been reading this, you could tell the man is immersed in the things of God. And because of that, he's got something to communicate. And a ministry that has an effect upon a lot of people. And all of us can have what we choose to have. You can walk with the Lord. You can choose to walk with the Lord, to be in fellowship with the Lord, and to have communion with Him. How? Well, the example here is by faith. You just make some choices. I'm going to step forward into the things of God, spend more time with Him, more time with His Word, communicate with Him, and allow Him to change me and use me. For 300 years, Enoch walked with God. And we don't, you know, there's no real indication of what happened or why it happened, but apparently he just walked with God, and he was just getting closer and closer and closer to God, till finally the Lord must have just said, well, you know, he's more heavenly than he is earthly. He needs to step on up. He's more of another world than he is of that world. He can just take the next step and come on up. Amen. And be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, this world needs to see a people that are walking with God. Amen. This world needs to see a generation that knows what it is to be more than just a casual Christian. People that are really in fellowship with God, in communion with the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you can draw us by your Spirit into fellowship with you. Lord, I don't know the spiritual lives or the spiritual condition of those in this place today. Only you really know the hearts of men. But Lord, if there are those here today and they're hungering and they're thirsting after you, maybe they're a mother or a father concerned about their children. Maybe they're a grandparent concerned about their family. Lord, whatever the Lord has brought us to the crossroads in our life, Lord, help us today to make some really important decisions to choose, Lord, more than just a casual connection with you, Lord, but to step into a fellowship, a communion with you, time in your presence, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Even in spite of the ungodliness of this world that we live in, I know that you're calling us out, Lord, to walk with you, to be in fellowship with you in spite of all the things that are going on in this world. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Minister, Lord, to your people today. May we be challenged, God, to get close to you, to draw nigh unto thee, O Lord. And Lord, for those in this service this morning that they don't know you, they're not really sure where they stand with you, Lord, God, that you would speak to their hearts and help them to see, Lord, that you have made a way where they can take this step of faith, Lord, and put their confidence and their hope in you. Hallelujah.